Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Coming up later in the program, Armando Iannucci, the creator of the HBO series Veep. He will be here with us. But right now, as you've been hearing all month, WNYC has been inviting you to clock your sleep with us. Over 4,700 of you have been participating, logging over 46,000 sleep records. John Keefe, the senior editor of WNYC's data news team, was here 4 weeks ago, you may remember, to launch this project, and now he's back with some findings. Hi, John.
Hi.
And we'll also talk about phase two of this community data experiment, sleep teams. So listeners, stay with us for this because we have invited the team leaders to make their pitch to you about why you should join their team to try to get an extra hour of sleep their way. So Manu Samarodi, John Hockenberry, and PJ Vogt from On the Media will join us a little bit later. But John Keefe, as a group, did our 4,700 participants improve their sleep over the course of April?
It looks that way, actually. Each week, we're looking at 4 weeks, and each week, as a group, on average, in aggregate, everybody gained a minute or two each week. And so it started out with an average of about 7 hours and 5 minutes of sleep per night. And by week four, that had climbed to 7 hours and 11 minutes. Now, that's not a whole lot, right? But if you take it in aggregate, and if you talk to the sleep researchers, especially the ones who have been advising us, they think that that's actually pretty exciting to see that it may be that by tracking sleep, some people are getting more sleep.
You start with baby steps, and if it's a minute 1 week and another minute a second week, well, talk to me in 6 months. But to be clear, this is not a super scientific study because all the participants are self-reporting and self-selecting. But this result does seem to reflect what our experts have said all along, that the mere act of tracking could inspire positive changes. And I should add that this is the opposite of what I thought would happen, which was that the mere act of counting how many minutes a night you sleep would make you so self-conscious that it would give you insomnia.
That's entirely possible. And we actually, when we were designing this, one of the big things, and I know you'll talk about this later, one of the big things about getting more sleep in our day and age is getting technology out of your bedroom, get your iPhones out and stuff. And here we were sort of saying, hey, use technology to track your sleep.
That's
so
right.
We were worried about that conflict as well.
Well, we will get in a few minutes to the Turn Off the Screens team in our competitive Get More Sleep phase two, which is coming up shortly. But I want to open up the phones for any of you 4,700 people who've participated in this community data experiment. Some of you must be listening right now. Did the mere act of tracking your sleep change what time you went to bed? Is that why you got a little more sleep? Were you more conscious of your sleep habits, like the screens, other habits that influence sleep, like drinking caffeine and alcohol? 212-433-WNYC. Tell us your story if you've been one of the people participating in the Clock Your Sleep project with WNYC's data news team. 212-433-9692. Calling all sleep clockers, call us up and tell us how this community data experiment was for you. And we're going to talk to a few people who we've set up to discuss taking part with us. And they are two students from the school, St. Anne's, in Brooklyn. So let's bring Julian on the line. Hey, Julian, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How are you doing, Brian?
Great. Thanks for joining us. Tell us
what
did you do with Clock Your Sleep?
So I've been tracking my sleep for about a month now. And, you know, initially I thought, okay, I sleep 8 hours a day. It's good enough. And I started realizing through the app that
I knew, by the way, that there was one high school student somewhere in America who does actually sleep 8 hours a day. And we found you.
Yes, you did. Well, actually, although I did think I slept 8 hours a night, I didn't. I'm actually realizing that I sleep more, like 7.5. And when I drink caffeine, I realize, you know, I don't drink caffeine that often. Usually I'll have maybe a coffee once a month or once every 2 months. And whenever I do in the afternoon, I realize that it goes more towards 6.5 hours of sleep. In the morning after, I would just feel horrible. So you know, I realized that
so you
probably shouldn't be drinking caffeine after 3 or 4 o'clock.
By looking a little more closely through your participation in this community data experiment at your behaviors and the results of your behaviors, it sounds like you learned something. So one of your classmates is Isabel, another St. Anne student, who joins us now. Isabel, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
So what did you learn in Clock Your Sleep?
My sleep is actually shockingly normal, and I sleep pretty close to 8 hours almost every night, which is, I feel like I must be an anomaly of some kind.
You and Julian are the two 8-hour high school sleepers in America. So did anything change for you over the course of the month, or maybe you heard Julian talk about how he learn more because he was paying more attention to how his body reacts to caffeine? Anything like that for you?
I almost never drink caffeine. And if I do, I don't think it really has much of an effect on my sleep. I also don't nap very often. But something that I did find is that on the weekends, even if I go to bed a little bit later than I would on a weeknight, I'm pretty much incapable of sleeping in. I always wake up at like 7 or 8.
You think there's a reason for that?
Probably some kind of, you know, biological clock reason. You know, I'm so used to waking up for school that I just do it automatically.
All right. Isabel and Julian from St. Anne's, thanks a lot for clocking your sleep with us and coming on the air for a few minutes.
Thanks.
Thank you, Brian.
And this is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey Public Radio. As we debrief phase one of our Clock Your Sleep project and introduce phase two. And, John Keith, the thing that Isabel just brought up about sleeping in on the weekends, you did get some stats on that, didn't you?
Yeah, it was one of the things that kind of confirmed for us that we were actually getting some at least decent data, because it's pretty well known that New Yorkers especially will catch up on their sleep on the weekends. The doctors had told us that this is a pattern, and we saw that. People were actually getting an extra half hour of sleep on Friday and Saturday nights on average. And even though folks were going to bed later on Friday and Saturday nights, they're sleeping in more than an hour or about an hour more. Usually the average was about 7 a.m. for people waking up. On Saturday and Sunday mornings, the average is 8 a.m.
Not that late.
It's not that
late.
By
my standards for waking up on a Saturday or a Sunday morning. Maybe they all had kids.
There are a lot of folks who are in our group who have children.
And also women outnumbered men in this project. And again, these are just, volunteers, people who decided, hey, that sounds cool. WNYC is inviting us to clock our sleep. I'm going to join in. And the people who did decide, those 4,700 people, included 2-to-1 women. Is there a reason for that, do you think?
I don't know. We hadn't really figured exactly out why that happened.
Or did you find a difference between how men and women sleep, since you had plenty of each?
There was definitely a difference. In fact, in terms of gains over the course of the time, the men seemed to not really gain any more sleep over the course of the month. It was sort of it went down for weeks 2 and 3 and came back up in week 4. The women made consistent gains, again, on average, and gaining actually 7 minutes and 14 seconds on average over the course of the month.
All right. Let's hear from some of the participants who are calling in now to report their experiences. Kylie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hey, Kylie.
Hi. I was so excited about this project, and I wanted to share a finding that I thought was kind of interesting. So I've always slept really well, and even through this project have slept really well. What I found is that the amount of time between when I wake up and when I get out of the bed is daunting. I mean, there's so much time that I spend in the bed, almost an hour, like between when I wake up and when I actually put my feet on the floor.
Interesting. I'm surprised you even asked that, John. Did you have that as a question?
We did, and it's actually something we were trying to get at, was the sense of sleep efficiency. How much time are you sleeping when you're actually in bed, as you're describing? And sleep researchers really try to get that sleep efficiency up. They want you to, if you're going to sleep well, they want you to go to bed and go to sleep, and then when you wake up, you get out of bed. So the bed is for sleeping, and they try to, for especially folks who are having trouble sleeping, they try to up that sleep efficiency.
So, Kylie, was there a relationship between how much sleep you had gotten and how long you rolled around in bed before putting your feet on the floor? In other words, if you were actually less tired because more well-rested from more sleep, you got up more quickly, or didn't you notice?
No. I think it was actually two things. One, I think the technology piece. So if I don't have my iPhone or my tablet or the remote control to watch the news and the radio has gone off, so if those four things all stop happening, right, and I have nothing to do in the bed, then I usually will get up out of the bed. But for me, the technology wasn't keeping me asleep. It's the fact that I could sit in the bed and read on my tablet that was keeping me in the bed longer, as opposed to, let's say, like going to
that
read in the kitchen.
Is so
and then the other thing is that it's just like the longer you lay in the bed, the longer you think about all that you have to do that day, which is daunting, which makes you stay in the bed.
Great story. Thank you very much. You'll have to do a Clock Your Clock radio project next.
Yeah, we did see something that was interesting in the sleep efficiency category. The week of spring break, right? So New York City schools had a spring break right in the middle of this project. And the week of spring break, we actually saw everybody's sleep efficiency got a little bit better. I don't quite understand why that was, but also everybody got
meaning they got out of bed more quickly after they woke up.
Yeah, they also slept a little bit more.
Because it was 11:30.
Yeah, exactly. So they slept a little bit more on average and got a better sleep efficiency.
Mike in Manhattan, you clocked your sleep?
I would make my own notes, and I had this problem where I was waking up around 2 o'clock and around 4:30, and I couldn't figure it out. One night I had insomnia, and I heard it. I heard the problem, which was the radiators. The radiators were clanking, okay? And so what I did was I used earplugs, and I slept through the night. But that was enough to disturb my sleep.
Oh, that's really good. So it sounds like the Clock Your Sleep Project made you aware.
Absolutely.
Of what it was, because you were paying attention and taking notes, that woke you up. I'm aware of this. The radiator goes on at the same time every single morning when the building starts sending up heat. It's on a timer.
It gets warmer, yep, and you hear it. The temperature also can change, even if it's not making sounds. The sleep researchers we've been talking to talk about that. Also, apparently, and we didn't really get into this in the project, but a real issue for New Yorkers is the amount of light coming in their bedroom windows, especially in the middle of the city where there are streetlights and there are lights outside, and making it really dark. It seems to be obvious, but apparently this is something that New Yorkers have an especially hard problem with.
They do make blackout shades. Rita in Manhattan, you clocked your sleep?
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I did. I've been a perennial late night person, and I've just accepted it, and I'm sort of working with it. But by clocking my sleep, even though I went to bed like maybe 15 minutes earlier or slept 10 minutes later, I noticed that the days when I got even just 15 minutes more sleep, it really made a difference in my attitude, my energy. And I always thought I have to get an hour more. You know, I felt it was impossible to fix this. So I don't know, by clocking it and seeing that little differences made a difference, it was a very positive exercise for me.
Interesting. Thank you very much. Do the sleep doctors back that up, as far as you know, that as little as 15 minutes extra sleep?
I think we'd have to ask them, but I would assume that they would say yes. Any little bit helps.
Before we go on to phase two and bring on three WNYC hosts who are going to be leading three WNYC listeners teams of different methodologies to get more sleep. One other finding that I found so interesting about whether people remember their dreams, and you found that the people who said they often remember their dreams slept longer, almost a full half hour more. And again, it's not a scientific study. This is all self-reporting by volunteers. But what did our doctor say about that?
Right. So the other caveat here is that just because these two things are correlated doesn't mean one causes the other. And that's something to think about. And in fact, Dr. Carl Bazile, we asked him about this. And he's a neurologist at the Division of Epilepsy and Sleep at Columbia University. He said there's a couple of things that could be happening here. So what's happening is people who remember their sleep are also, or remember their dreams, are also sleeping a half hour more. So he said that one thing that could be happening is that REM dream sleep happens a lot toward the end of sleep. So if you are sleeping an extra half hour, you may just be generating more REM sleep and having more of that dream time and therefore remembering your dreams.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So that's one possibility.
Well, I learned something from that because I wake up remembering dreams more often on the weekends, and I guess that's why.
That could be, for sure. He said that sometimes the reverse is true, though, too. People who have alarms that go off, and maybe this is your experience, you get sort of blasted out of your sleep and you don't get to have those dreams, and so then you don't remember them. And then finally, he said another possibility is just that people who are doing something like tracking their sleep or thinking about their what he calls the sleep hygiene, how well you're sleeping, are sleeping more because they're thinking about it and they're more attentive to the fact that they're dreaming. So they're just overall more attentive and that those go together.
Oh, yeah. I use an alarm. Otherwise, I'd miss the show.
We're glad you're using
an
alarm.
If I ever don't show up and John has to run in here at like the last minute and say, well, Brian's not here. We don't know where he is. It's because I didn't set my alarm.
Okay. And you don't remember your
It's never happened yet. Tell us about the next phase of the sleep project. Phase two. We're splitting into teams for 2 weeks to help people try to get a full extra hour of sleep. That's the goal. How's it going to work, John Keefe?
Right. So the idea here is that, okay, in addition to tracking something like your diet or your sleep, how that can maybe help you do better at what you're trying to do, also having moral support or a group of people together to actually do this together. And so we created these three teams, and you'll hear from their leaders in just a little bit. But it's a two-week challenge. Even if you're not even tracking your sleep now, you can join up and start now. You do have to sign up by noon next Monday, so noon Monday, May 12th. Anyone can sign up. Just sign up by noon on Monday and try to pick one. You'll hear all the descriptions of what you would have to do on each team. We'll add your sleep times to the aggregate total for the team and see if the hosts and the teams can bring up their sleep times.
So let's bring in the captains to try to recruit some of you who are listening on to their teams. Manu Samarodi, the host of New Tech City, is heading up Team Digital Detox. Hi, Manu.
Hi, Brian.
The Takeaways' John Hockenberry is captain of our team Rock Your Routine. Hey, John.
Phase two begins.
Oh, geez.
And PJ Vogt. John can do the movie voiceovers if this radio thing doesn't work out. And PJ Vogt is co-captain with Brooke Gladstone. They both work for On the Media of the Vice Squad. Hey, PJ.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So you're each going to have a minute or two to make your pitch. Manoush.
Okay, I'm up. Digital detoxers, you know who you are. You're that person who is working right until the minute you put your head down on the pillow, or you just want to read one more article or just look at Pinterest for a little bit longer. We can do this, people. It's going to be no screens 1 hour before bedtime, no cell phone in the bedroom. Now, I know people are saying, no cell phone in the bedroom. How am I going to wake up? It's my alarm. Dig that old alarm clock out of the drawer underneath your bed. Go over to CVS and grab another one. Or put – people have been trying this out already this week. I have reports that they've been putting their phones outside their bedroom, and it forces them to actually get up and out of bed.
Can I put it on bedside mode where it goes really, really
no,
dim?
No, it has to be out. It's a mental thing, Brian. We can do it. Listen, people, we're going to wake up to the real birds instead of Twitter. Join me. Team Digital Detox.
Okay, Hawk. Manoush is very persuasive.
Well, if this is a problem for you, I think it's a very simple solution. So yeah, go ahead, join that team. But if you really want a challenge, a serious challenge, and get to the deep issues that John Keefe was talking about, sleep efficiency, integrating your sleep time into your life so that you have better awake time, then do what we're going to do. What we're going to do is pick a routine every single day. We're going to go to bed at the same time. We're going to wake up at the same time. We're not going to vary it on the weekends. We're not going to play catch-up games like New Yorkers. And we're going to stick to that routine. For me, it's going to be 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. I'm kind of stuck. I have to wake up at 4 a.m. You have similar restrictions, Brian. I can't do anything about that. But you on my team can choose any routine. The key is stick to it. That's going to improve our sleep efficiency. It means we're going to get more and better sleep when we're asleep and have better awake time. Right. And our team's going to talk about what it's like to be awake.
Team Rock Your Routine, do the same thing every day. We heard about Manoush's digital detox team, no screens or any of that stuff an hour before bed. PJ Vogt from On the Media's TLDR blog, you and Brooke Gladstone, who's out of town today, are heading up the Vice Squad, team number three. Convince our people to join your team.
Do I have permission to go negative?
Absolutely. This is politics.
Okay. So first of all, with John's team, basically what he's asking you to be is not human. I mean, we are human beings. We like to sleep in on the weekends. We like to get up at different times. To be chained to routine seems like no real freedom at all. And my colleague Manoush is asking you to do something that seems unfathomably lonely to me, which is to be alone in my room without a cell phone. I have no interest in that. All we're asking is
abstinence.
That's
what you're asking?
Mild, reasonable abstinence.
That's ridiculous.
If WNYC listeners like me are going to bed with caffeine, alcohol, and cigarettes, all we're suggesting is that for maybe the 4 hours before bed, you abstain, and that if you can, you exercise 3 times a week. And exercise, you can interpret that as mildly as you want. Maybe that's getting off a few subway stops early.
So if you exercise, which is not a vice, you're hoping to tire yourself out more so you can fall asleep at a normal time. So you're supposed to exercise if they join your vice squad?
They're supposed to exercise. But really, if they could even just stop, I mean, I don't know why everyone's smoking cigarettes in bed, but if they could just stop that, I'd consider it a victory.
Now, one of the things that we heard from our sleep doctors over the course of April was to not exercise too close to bedtime. So there's that, too.
Right. That can be counterproductive. So also, if you were going on, you know, midnight runs, you might have to spend a couple weeks not doing that.
So Team Vice Squad, no nicotine, no caffeine, exercise. John Huckenberry has a question from stage right.
Are urine tests involved in his group? Hello? Hello?
I don't know. It sounds like Team Slacker to me. Come on, New Yorkers. We're more efficient and we have more ambition than that. Join Team Digital Detox and actually get something done for 2 weeks.
If you rock your routine, you can take this into your life and use it. This is something you'll have for the rest of your life. Abstinence? I don't think so.
Will you make this deal, PJ? You can go negative all you want if you submit to the urine test.
I knew you'd go for it, Paige.
Is it on air?
We'll have to figure that out.
This is going in a bad direction. FCC. Let's go
back.
Right.
He's going really negative. You know, Manoush, on yours, the digital detox, the participants that we had in phase one were asked where they keep their phone.
Yes.
And you probably saw this stat. Of the 1,333 people who answered that question at all, over 50% keep their phones in the bedroom. Most of those keep it right next to the bed. And about 5% keep it under their pillow.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, I totally get it. It's one of the greatest things that our phone has replaced so many things in our lives, including our alarm clock. But what I think it means is that when we go to set the alarm clock, we just check Facebook one more time. Or did I get an email right before work? And we start to think about work. And also the reading that I've been doing, every time we look at blue light that is coming out of our digital devices, it's kind of like drinking an espresso through your eyes. You know that sleep that you get where you know you're asleep, but it's kind of like there's this weird buzz in your brain? So I think for the digital detoxers, we're not just talking about quantity. We're talking about quality. Letting go of work before you go to bed, letting go of thinking about other people, having quiet time, dimming the lights, getting into a calm, restful, nocturnal place.
And just one little pushback to your vociferous advocacy, John Huckenberry, your Rock Your Routine thing. You have to wake up at the same time on the weekends as you wake up on the weekdays.
Oof.
That is
I'm going to do that because that's what I have to do. But anyone can choose whatever routine they want that is consistent with their lifestyle. But stick to it. Yeah, that's right.
Feels like an anti-brunch platform.
Hey, make your time work with brunch. I think it's totally fine. The idea, though, is to use the rhythms of this routine to make your sleep efficiency better.
And PJ, who writes the TLDR blog for On the Media, if his team wins, it's going to have to be renamed for Slept Too Late, Didn't Read. So, listeners, you have until noon next Monday, noon May 12th, to sign up for one of these teams. It's a two-week challenge, and winners will be crowned. And as you can hear, there is a lot of pride at stake in the WNYC
going
newsroom.
Down,
members of my team get an all-expense-paid trip to Bermuda.
Down.
Go to WNYC.org/sleep to sign up. You can join even if you haven't been tracking your sleep already in phase one. When you do join a team, there is a Facebook group for each team where the online discussions will be happening, and we'll have these captains back next week to see how it's going. Thanks a lot, guys. Good luck.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
We have the best T-shirt.
No.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will meet the U.S. government's first ever chief technology officer. If he did such a good job for President Obama, why are PJ and the rest of the media constantly so incensed about how non-transparent the Obama White House is? And then we will meet Armando Iannucci, you know, the creator of the HBO series Veep. He'll be here too, so stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.